Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 through $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/rainmandigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to them.
Superman.
I'm sorry to be here.
Who are you? The lasso of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
How's it going, guys? You are listening to DC on RMD, the Flash edition on Rain Man Digital. I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
And Stephen Crouch.
Yo.
And you guys can find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider, whether it be Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. Remember, guys, when you get there, click the subscribe button, click the rate, and review us. It helps us, guys. I cannot stress it enough. Please do that for us. Today we will be breaking down and discussing Flash Season 6, Episode 5, License to Elongate, which made me giggle when I first read that because elongate's a funny word.
Yeah, penis, right?
But, yeah, penis, yeah. Like, I don't know why, like...
It sounds like a penis pill you get at a truck stop.
Yeah, like, oh, here, have a couple elongates, man.
No, a license to elongate.
Oh.
And yeah. It comes in a package that looks like a license.
But, like, how much does it actually add? Like, I'm curious. Asking for a friend.
3 to 6.
We should see if we can make that a Rain Man skit.
A license to elongate? But
no, we just take penis pills and see what they do.
Oh, my God.
I grew 6.9 inches.
Maybe we can get Thomas's point, his extra 0.1 or whatever, yeah, it is, because I still don't know what 0.9 inches means.
I'm a little confused about 0.9 inches myself, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, what did he measure with? Like, never mind. This is a completely...
Different.
It's a different show.
Yeah, it's a different show entirely that will probably come out in the next.
You'll come out?
Yes, absolutely. This episode, License to Elongate, was fucking hilarious. The entire James Bond vibe that we got from this, especially with Ralph, and I think I can talk for all three of us when we say that Ralph is fucking awesome. To put him in this role was pretty fucking great.
Well, you know, even if they hadn't leaned into it, which eventually they leaned hard into it, I think everybody was already making those connections before they leaned into it.
Yeah.
But certainly Barry is no Bond. I think we can agree on that.
I was actually kind of digging that. The fact that they let Ralph kind of take the lead on this one.
They made Barry Allen who he was for the first time in like 4 seasons.
Yeah.
A goofy fair kid.
Dork. Yeah. A dork.
Yeah. And he can't really read the situation.
He's not good at improv, dude.
No, thinking on his feet, he's terrible.
No,
I mean, remember, that was the whole point of like the first 2 seasons with him, was Oliver was trying to teach him the street smarts and all that other stuff that was going on that he was missing.
Right.
And it's been a while since we've seen this version of Barry Allen, and I appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad
I would have appreciated it like a season and a half ago, too.
I think it is cool. It seems like Bob is saying, it's a little too late to revisit this Barry when we've had about 3 other versions of Barry. I also enjoy that they brought this version of Barry back, but they gave Ralph the lead. So I mean, this one was directed by Danielle Panabaker, which is like, is this one of her first episodes she's directed?
It's her very first.
I think it's her first. She was talking about on Instagram. Right. So good for her.
Written by Thomas Pound and Jeff Hirsch. We've been getting some pretty, I don't know, lackluster episodes. And then we went right into a lighter episode. This was a very much a light, funny episode, which I think we've kind of been missing.
Yeah, it felt to me, it took me back to
season 1, right?
Well, yes, but the T-Rex episode with Ralph, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It had that lighthearted, fun, campy for sure, but in a good way.
Yeah. And I think by making it that type of episode, but giving Ralph the reins on this type of episode made sense, because Ralph is the comedic relief, but not in a bad way. Most of the time, mm-hmm. like comedic relief, like in the first couple of seasons was Sisko. And they did a really good job of having Sisko lead those episodes. This was really smart because Ralph is the latest comedic relief, but also he is the latest character that I think the majority of the fans like. And I mean, I guess I'm speaking for the fans, but I feel like there's not much you can hate about Ralph.
No.
And by having him be the one that lead the Ralph Barry adventure makes sense. I think making it, giving it the James Bond vibe helped as well. Just because we've seen Ralph be pretty fucking smooth before, and watching him kind of play the James Bond spy guy.
Well, that and to the opposite of Barry. Like, yes, we've sold our international for millions, you know, and
yeah.
And just random things that Barry was doing to show that awkwardness that makes Barry Allen Barry Allen. And to have Ralph be the street smart character, but also not losing his sense of who he is while doing it.
Yeah, and it gives you kind of a good yin and yang kind of situation. Ralph, like you said, Ralph being a street smart person, and we get to see Barry, who never really has had street smarts. I think,
right.
I mean, he really hasn't. I mean, if you, like Bob mentioned earlier, like Oliver, when Oliver was on seasons 1 and 2, he was trying to teach Barry the street smarts that he never really knew. So seeing him be completely awkward and goofy and the complete opposite of Ralph, who's just calm and collective and smooth as fuck.
Well,
dude.
Especially with that dame at that party, you know, maybe, and I'm maybe reaching here, but maybe give Barry the Book of Ralph to study for a hot minute, because it might have helped in that situation.
Well, even think about this. Like, Ralph knew everyone at that party. He doesn't tell Barry any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes to show that we kind of underestimate Ralph quite a bit.
We underestimate what he's capable of doing.
Yeah.
And I actually liked that part because he had done his research and his detective work way deep. It wasn't even at a surface level. He had deep profiles on him.
He knew everyone. He knew exactly who he was talking to at any given time. And I think...
Well, the thing for me, it was what Sisko would do for Barry in his ear. Ralph was able to do it by just look.
Right, in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true, man. I never thought about it that... Yeah. I never thought about it that way. I also liked the fact that he was urging Barry to play it cool. Like, slow down. Let's not round up the whole fucking place. We haven't got the information that we need yet. And you're not, by rounding up, you're still not going to stop it. Like,
it's fun to see that role reversal, because when Barry mentored Ralph, you saw a completely different, you know, mentor mentee relationship. Yeah. And now we're seeing it from the inverse, where he's showing Barry things that Barry needs to learn. And
I think we're, you know, into the sixth season, and we still are in an episode like this, we're seeing Barry learn something from someone, which is good character development, is smart. Obviously, I think with this season, it's a little too late to be kind of fleshing that out with what we have coming up here in a few episodes.
Maybe, but maybe we see it tie into it. Maybe
I hope so.
See something. Some seeds being planted.
Well, I think we bring this up a lot on all our shows on RMD and Rain Man in general, that if you're going to let us learn a lesson this late, I say late because we're closing in on the mid-season, but for them to learn a lesson and or bring a character back or anything that, like, going into the mid-season is, you know, on the sixth or fifth or sixth episode, it has to come back, and like you said, planting seeds. It's got to come back for the right reason. So maybe you're right, Steve. Maybe going into crisis, this helps Barry, you know, in some way. Who knows?
Even if it doesn't, it's never too late to learn or grow as a person.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's cool to see our main character learn something valuable in an episode that is technically a lighter episode. It makes complete sense.
Does anybody wish that they had more episodes like this?
I do. I think this is fun. Like, this is what we want from Flash. I want a fun episode where Barry learns a lesson or learns something, and at a little bit of meta or the what's going on with the myth arc. That's what I want. That's what I want. That is a good Flash episode. There's a little goofiness to it. There's a little fun to it. But then also we get some myth arc to it. And I think that was really, really well done in this episode. I mean, fuck.
We're missing the Barry Allen sarcasm.
Yes. Yes. We are missing it. And I think this episode, this should be kind of a formula for Flash.
It used to be,
right? Season one and two, that's what this is a,
like, he would do goofy things because he just didn't understand what was going on. He would learn a lesson from it. He would move on. And it's just not like that anymore. Like, Barry is so just morbid and like down all the time. And I think it was just so weird because I was watching this episode going, man, I miss this.
Yeah. And I mean, fuck.
But do I miss, like, why now?
Yeah, why is it taking so long?
Ratings.
You're not wrong. You're probably 100% right.
No, 100% wrong. Do you realize that right now they are one of the highest rated shows on the CW, that people are still watching this show? You know, they're anywhere from 1.2 million to 1.5 million, and that's where they've been basically season five. Season four, you know, you have to go back to season four to when they were, you know, in the twos. But again, we're talking about like the Nielsen ratings, which doesn't include the app ratings, which is, again, I have 8 hosts. None of us watch real TV.
No, we really don't. But can we also talk for a second about like the app in general? Because it fucking sucks. And it sucks that we have to watch it that way. And I think it ruins a lot of the shows. I'm not going to hold back on this. I can't tell you how many times it's fucked up when I'm watching something and it ruins my experience.
On Apple TV?
On everything.
So it's infinitely better on Apple TV. On any mobile device,
it's fucking horrid.
Hot garbage.
Yeah. I mean, Rob, what show was it that just kept fucking up for you?
So Supergirl and Batwoman both kept fucking up, no matter if I watched it on a Fire Stick or an Apple TV.
Really?
It just it would get to a certain point and crash, right?
Yeah, it would just say, and then show's not available or some other error. And then, like, when I went to the CW frequently asked questions, it told me to delete the app and reinstall it. And I did it, and it still did it. And it got to Wednesday, and I'm like, holy shit, I have shows to do. How am I going to fake it through this?
Yeah.
And it started working finally.
So it's probably that whole thing with the integration of HBO Max.
Well, stupid. You have to buy HBO Max.
I'd buy HBO Max if it gave me CW shows without commercials.
I think the thing for me, like, the episode could be meh, and then the app takes a shit, and you're like, fuck my life. This episode sucked because of this stupid app.
Right. How much time do I want to invest getting this back up and running?
Yeah, exactly. Can we talk about Ralph Simbom for a second? I actually like it, dude.
Yeah.
I think it looked cool, super clean.
And as soon as you put it on, it felt like it was right out of the books.
Let me ask you a question, Steve, because we're both costume nerds. Did it make you giddy that they magneted it onto his, like, it was, for me, like, any hidden magnet or like integration like that was super cool.
Yeah, earth magnets for the win.
Yeah, dude, earth magnet right onto his costume. Like, whoever, you know, came up with that was pretty fucking smart.
But probably someone we know that we don't know that we know is working on it.
Yeah.
it's always amazing when you find out people like Reeves and all that are working on some of these costumes, and you know they're just making them out of their garage.
Mm-hmm. It's dude, you're not wrong, because I feel like a lot of this stuff is like, oh, we commissioned so and so to do it, and then that's how it's made.
Well, the guy who makes the Deathstroke costumes on Arrow follows us on Instagram and stuff. And, you know, some of the dude basically has a garage workshop, and, you know, CW hires him to make all these things.
So funny side note, since you mentioned that, I didn't know this until recently, but the guy that made a bunch of shields for the Cap movies works with me. Who knew?
Huh.
Wow. Weird. Random.
Interesting, because I probably have met that guy.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. What a small world. Let's talk about the effects in the episode.
Talk about something that took me completely out of it. What the fuck was that gun?
Oh, yeah.
Like, legitimately, I was expecting Mark Hamill to jump out as the trickster and start making... I mean, legitimately, guys, come on. Like, who did you hire to make a gun out of Amazon boxes?
It's
That's like, what it looked like.
Dude, oh, no, everything, like, oh my God, it was so horrible. Like, Batman 66, thank you for lending us a weapon.
Dude, the it did really look fucking bad.
Hey, man, come on. That shark repellent was good.
Here's the thing that blows me away about a turret or gun or whatever the fuck you want to call it. You have so many cool props in this show. Like, if you really look at some of the stuff we've had in the last, like, year, you had some really fucking cool props.
They spent all the money on earth magnets.
That's what I was going to say. That EM on that emblem was not elongated, man. It was earth magnet.
Earth magnet. That gun looked fucking horrid. Like,
a lot of the effects did this week.
I'm so glad that he actually hit it with the fucking thing and broke the... Maybe we'll never see that gun again, hopefully.
But it did not look it like something cheesy. Robin and Batman are tied up. It's out of pattern.
Holy gee willikers, Batman.
If we swing left, we'll be able to get it out. And then Robin runs up and busts it with a freaking...
Yep.
Maybe between his button and Melina, they just ran out of funding.
Fucking Melina. Oh, God. So bad.
And then I was like, the Mandarin with his 10 rings. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is the stuff that takes me out of episodes. And I, like, the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, this is fun. And I was like, but then it's too fun because this is cheesy as fuck.
Yep.
But that's okay because we've had such a string of stinkers.
But I understand that. But the fact is, it's like when it comes to go time.
Yeah.
Put your money in. Like, all I know is this crossover better be the most amazing thing, because between what I've seen on Supergirl and the lack of effects on there, Arrow, of course, doesn't really have it because it's a lot of practical effects. But we really haven't seen budgets spent on a lot of these episodes.
No, you're right.
They're saving it.
But so, you know, this crossover better be fucking amazing, because
I think they spent it on that Photoshop monitor poster that looks like the Avengers poster. So, you see that one?
Yeah.
Yes. I totally agree. I don't... It has to be... This crossover better be fucking amazing. Because I feel like they're skimping on shit in these episodes.
When they fought at the end and, you know, Barry, they leave the suits off and they go out there, like, drunk and, you know, pretending. All they needed was the BAM and the POWs.
You're so right, dude. Ugh.
And again, I only bring these things up because this is what distracts me when I watch these shows.
Yeah.
You know, Lauren gets on me all the time because on Supergirl, they had some kind of earthbender this week. And I was like, they might as well just have the guy throw rocks at him because the special effects that they did was fucking horrible. And she's like, well, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, it is. No, it really and you was. can't always use CW as the excuse, because guess what? When you make a practical effect, I could have found a PVC pipe at a Home Depot, sprayed it silver, sprayed it black, sprayed it silver, wiped some of that shit off, you know, crusted it out, taken a Dremel tool, cut some holes in there so it breathes. And then I would have made a better fucking weapon than they did.
You're making a potato gun?
At that point, yeah, why not? Right? You make a potato gun and put it on a freaking tripod, and it looks better than what they had there.
It's not wrong.
Like, I don't know. It's just, I almost expected Sonic or Mario to come out and start jumping over fireballs that were shooting out of that thing.
The shitty Sonic or the new Sonic?
Both?
Does it matter in the grand scheme of things when the movie's going to be fucking horrible? Does it matter what it looked like?
Well,
it could have been cross-eyed in the wrong color.
But at least they put...
You know, do we?
At least they were willing to go back and put some more money into it.
Yeah, put some more money in it, and it's still going to bomb in the box office because none of these dickheads that fucking bitched and moaned are going to go see the movie because they just wanted to be a bunch of dickheads.
Correct.
Anyways, live read. Hey, DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows, please share with your friends and review. With every share and review, you will help our show climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details and purchase through our links.
That was a good pivot.
Thanks, man. You know, I've been wanting to have that rant for a while, and he gave me a great segue to it.
I was talking to the pivot to the live read.
No, but
that's what I was doing.
Whatever you want to take, feel good about yourself for, that's fine.
All right. Thanks, man. Let's talk about Nash Wells. I don't care.
I was going to say, let's not.
Like, typically,
you have to call her Allegra, because all I kept thinking is that was going to be the commercial in between. And if you're going to call her Allegra, can you call her other sinus medicine the whole time as a joke? like, it makes this Wells funny to where it's like Allegra. And she's like, oh, or I almost said Modestat.
My name is Flonase.
Yeah, I almost said Modestat. And I'm like, that's not.
Whoa.
That, I think that has since the deal with different flows.
It does.
But you know what I mean? Like, I wanted that to be like a running joke as this Wells is just like a smartass and trying to use her as somebody that has a power that he needs at this point.
It would have been entertaining to go that route.
Yeah, just like every time say the wrong name for no apparent reason and just see if people got it.
Oh god, that would have been amazing. I would have laughed.
I appreciate that he's willing to trade his knowledge of what the multiverse is and what's going on directly with her to get what he needs. I think that's interesting. That he would just come right out with it and not really give a shit or think about the ramifications of letting just a random person know, particularly a person who is a journalist. He just doesn't care. Like, he comes from an Earth where he, I guess maybe it's common knowledge and nobody gives a shit. And so,
well, he's the pariah. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he's Nash Wells, but we know who he is. I think the thing that kills me about just this version of Wells in general is that we, in the last, I would say, two or three versions of Wells, okay, we start off going, God, we fucking don't like this guy.
And then we like him.
And then we like him. And I don't know if that's just the formula for every Wells that shows up, but this one seems to be slow playing everything. He could fucking tell us everything right now.
I think the only exception to that rule was season one, where I think everybody started off liking him and then like him even more.
Hey, what
and
do you
then...
know? It was reverse.
Yeah.
Because he was the reverse Flash. Mm. Wow. What do you know?
So did you expect Clariton's reaction to be different?
I'm done. I'm already done. Fucking Clariton. Yeah. I was going to call her Cialis, but okay.
See, you're just totally different pills at this point.
It doesn't matter. It's still a pill.
So Zyrtec, when she found out.
I'm waiting for Valtrex. Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, what a way to bring her in by saying, oh, we need ultraviolet powers to open this door. Like, okay. Like.
Talk about a MacGuffin.
Yes, like the definition of MacGuffin, dude. Like, but to see her reaction was a little, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, she just, you know, Benadryl felt like she's being left out and like she's only been part of the team, even though she might last 24 hours.
Benadryl's over the counter, dude. We got to talk about stuff you need a prescription for.
Oh, what about Zyrtec? Did I use Zyrtec?
Zyrtec. No, no. I thought he did use Zyrtec.
No.
You just okay. You use Zyrtec. Give me another one.
Okay, OxyContin.
What, dude? I'm using. If you're using oxys to get rid of your allergies, you have a heroin addiction.
I'm using it to get rid of her to numb the pain.
I almost just choked.
I mean, it's all up and up and non drowsy.
Oh,
that's the Target brand.
I almost just choked for real. Up like and died.
Non-drowsy.
I almost just died.
But most of these things you can get over the counter or generic.
Okay, drugstore cowboy.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school?
But I hope this doesn't turn into a whole like why you guys don't tell me everything type scenario with her.
God,
because again, I seem to talk about this a lot. If you guys listen to all the shows, that I have a side effect from people like Allegra, where
itchy and drowsiness.
No, it's called the CW syndrome.
Oh. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Where I believe that I've seen this before, and I'm scared of what's going to happen if I take too many of it. So it really doesn't equate to allergy relief when these things come up.
Mm-mm.
I think the thing that.
More of a breakout.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's only like every so often, though, right?
I don't know.
I'm sure you don't.
I mean, every season, it seems like it comes back.
It's a breakout every season. I think that, I hope there's like aha moment where she's like, now I understand, like you said, Bob, now I understand why I'm not told everything. why I'm, you know, oh, you guys always lie, or, you know, Iris, you don't ever tell me the truth. Well, like, this is why, you know, ignorance is bliss. Okay. Like, we don't tell you because of this. Because
sometimes Visine doesn't need her eyes cleared to everything in the world.
God, I'm so done.
Dry eye. Red eye.
Sometimes you just need Advil.
Oh, God. Tylenol.
Advil allergy and congestion.
Oh, gotcha. Can we all just agree that I don't give a flying fuck about Chester P. Runk?
Yeah, that was a waste of 10 minutes.
Why is he in this episode? Like, who cares?
There's got to be something bigger going on.
I hope, because it is fucking bad and I don't really give a shit. Like, who cares? He has to. I hope he's important, or that was a waste, like you said, Bob, a waste of 10 minutes in the episode. Like, why?
Wasn't a waste?
What?
Hottie in the red dress.
She was not a waste, dude. She was pretty hot.
More of her, less of him.
Yeah, can we get rid of Chester P. Runk and get the hot chick in the red dress who clearly wanted to fuck Ralph? Mm. I mean, she was giving him, like,
oh yeah,
put it in me vibes and eyeballs.
And he could from across the room.
He's got a license to elongate, so. These are the hard-hitting questions that I want to know. Can he, like, can he stretch it?
Yes.
See, he could have banged her from the stage, dude.
I wish he would use it like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible and rappel down from a ceiling.
From his dong?
From his dong.
He'd be upside down.
Right? I would like
he could twist his head around.
I would like to have him sit there and, like, sit at the table playing his, you know, the game and just have, like, this weird look on his face and him turn to Barry and go, I just peed.
I just touched his leg with my dong. He's just instead of like
people
of like,
freaking out because the snake something is repelling just moved
past
him.
My leg.
Instead of like playing, you know, footsies, he's playing Dixies.
Oh God! She's sitting across the way, thinking that he's playing footsies.
Yep, it's a dong the whole time.
Python.
So here's the real question, though: like, if he gets a rager, right, and he stretches it, does it get like as it stretches, does it get skinnier, or does it stay the same girth? Like, how does that work? Is it like Laffy Taffy? Because you know when you pull Laffy Taffy, like, it gets...
Oh, so you're basically talking Stretch Armstrong. Does it have muscles when you pull it too far? Yeah,
Does it get skinny, or does he just stay girthy?
I imagine it's like one of those Italian sausages on the grill.
It plumps when you cook them?
Yeah, to the point where the skin almost breaks.
So what you're saying is when...
So don't put it in the microwave.
So what what you're saying is when Tylenol blast him with ultraviolet, he got bigger.
Yeah.
His ding dong got bigger.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Huh.
I think that's the science.
If there's any science, if there's any scientists out there that want to help us with our lovely, assessment of Ralph's elongatedness down below, please send us a message.
Ryan needs to know.
I need to know, dude. These are the hard hitting questions.
I will microwave my dick.
It's going to be like Gremlins.
Oh, don't feed them after midnight
or it explodes in the microwave.
My dick explodes. Can we talk about the flimsy fucking Medal of Honor that they give Barry? Because, okay, guys,
it was such a touchy moment, but it just was weird.
But let's ground it in some reality. Yeah,
okay, first of all, guys, the Medal of Honor is only reserved for people who are in the military. Okay. Two, they literally copied the exact look of a real Medal of Honor. So honestly, I felt like it was a little
bullshit
that they would even do that. They could have named it a thousand other fucking things.
Like, the only thing they could give it is the Medal of Freedom. That's what a civvy gets when awarded.
Even still, it's not a city giving it out. It's the president who gives it out.
Correct.
So it could have been the Medal of Heroism. They could have made their own fucking thing and said, oh, here you go, Barry. You know, this is your cool medal that you get. Like, I just felt like it was a cop out and it was a little bit bullshit that they couldn't come up with another thing other than the Medal of Honor.
Right. And they really kind of glossed over all of the things that he's done to deserve it. They just kind of bucketed it as, oh, he's helped people and solved some cases.
I think really they glossed over it because they wanted it to look genuine, because Ralph flipped the script on him, because he thought it was for Ralph and the whole time it was for him. And I think that was the whole swerve, and they wasted time, and they they took the swerve was the big part, not the fact that the medal was called the fucking Medal of Honor. I think it was just, again, a bullshit. It was a waste of a good idea. You could have done 1,000 other names that right. made sense.
And maybe they're, maybe the writers were going under the guise. I can't, in good conscience, think that they are that aloof to how or why the Medal of Honor yep. is awarded. And if they didn't, if they weren't aware and they didn't even do an ounce of research.
Oh, then, you mean like I just did and says the highest nation's highest civil honor is called the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah. I, welcome Google, to 5 minutes ago.
Welcome to Google.
I know, but I'm just, no, yeah. I'm just looking at Google well, now, yeah, like yeah, yeah. seeing like what comes up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so the fact that they didn't do that, the only thing that I can think of is maybe they did it because he is a, you know, he works for the police force. And he did refer to him as Detective Barry Allen, yeah. which was interesting.
So,
because
but I think that was a promotion, and that seems right. weird too, because you're not a cop. A CSI is more of a
correct
a civilian well, thing that they cop. Get brought in.
He's a chiseled, hardened cop now.
I've been working the streets forever.
I've been working this beat since you were a kid.
Right.
Sucking I've been on, working since Allegra was arrested.
Sucking on your mommy's titty.
Wow.
When you were sucking on your cabbage patches.
Yeah, it was kind of a miss for me on that one. While yeah. the moment itself had it was heartfelt and genuine
and charming, but yeah, if you're into that kind of stuff, you're yeah. like,
it took it out of it. It was cringy. I think cringy is the right word. All right, guys, we're gonna take a
hold on.
Oh,
whoa, Bob,
I'm looking up something. Police department recognizes their officers at an annual award ceremony. It is called Pride of Heroes, and it said medal. Won the Medal of Honor, the highest award given to an officer by the department.
Well, then
what?
I've never heard.
No,
that.
I'm just looking at it. This I just was looking up high, like as we were doing it, I just kept Googling like civil awards. Okay, well, if he's a police, what's the highest police? And in Phoenix, it is called the Medal of Honor.
No shit.
I still don't. It still doesn't sit right with me.
Okay, no, that's 100% fine. I just was getting my Google foo on, just trying to see. You know what they could have called it better, but
yeah, that's,
obviously some police forces do use the Medal of Honor.
Well, fuck me and call me Sally.
Okay, Sally, go to break.
All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our final thoughts. First, a quick break.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The RAINMAN Show.
The RAINMAN Show.
Are they predominantly conservative out there?
I think they're forced to be.
Yeah.
Are they? I love me a Jewish broad. Give me a big old Israeli
We've
chick.
We called in a consultant, Michael Flores. He's apparently a scientist from the faraway land of America.
The quieter, the better, right?
Jesus.
Gotta hide him in the closet.
Those Jewish ladies out there are fucking animals. They're machines.
Take notes. He knows about this. This helps our study.
Gal Gadot is Israel.
Israel.
Yeah. One woman is the entirety of a fucking nation state.
Hell yeah.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Hey, DC comic fans. This week's featured product is DC Black Label Harleen Number 1. Witness Harleen's first steps on a doomed quest that will give birth to the legendary supervillain Harley Quinn. In this stunning reimagining of Harley and Joker's twisted and tragic love affair by visionary storyteller Shepin Sejic, who's also done Aquaman, Underworld, Suicide Squad, and Sunstone. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details and purchase through our links.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open Sesame!
And it helps strengthen the one rule in Star Trek that basically a lot of, I think a lot of fans and a lot of writers in Star Trek really do not take that much seriously, is that Prime Directive. The Prime Directive is you do not by any means interact with a pre-warp society.
Unless they're hot. if the whole world is a bunch of T'Pols and seven of nines, then yes, you must break that Prime Directive.
That's what makes those
moments, or at least bend it slightly to the right and up.
What is it that's bothering him?
Yeah,
because everyone deals with that. There's a lot of I always read like self-help books and stuff like that that tell about inside.
I read self-help books when it comes to sex. I need lots of help. I need lots of help. That's how I learned about the slight bend to the right and up.
Bend to the right.
Yeah,
and up.
That was due to a sex help book
and sexual yoga books.
Yeah. Well, the Sex for Dummies.
Star Trek from the Holodeck, exclusively on Rain Man Digital.
End simulation.
All right, guys, let's jump into our final thoughts. Steve, why don't you go first?
It was a passable episode where I think I was engaged 70% of the time, maybe 65% of the time. The other 30 to 35%, I was dicking off on my phone.
And that was probably the scenes without Ralph in
That's
Barry
exactly right. It was with,
Wells and Cecile,
Algebra, or whatever the fuck her name is. even when they were fighting Melina, like there was just parts of it that just was so not engaging for me that I just found myself completely distracted by other things. But when it was Ralph and Barry doing their thing, that was fun. It almost felt, for me at least, besides the obvious James Bond tie-in that they kept playing with, it felt very much like a Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones kind of, for me.
Who
anyways,
was Short Round?
Of the two? Absolutely Barry.
That's racist.
What?
Dr. Ralph! Dr. Ralph!
I want to see that episode. For me, I can only give it about a 58. It's better than what we've seen in a long, long time. It's certainly my favorite episode, possibly of the entire season.
Hang on, lady, we go for a ride.
The best thing ever. Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm getting more and more concerned.
I keep telling you, you listen to me. You listen to me more. You live longer.
I'm so upset that you don't have a New York Yankees hat on right now, because it would make that even better. Oh, he does.
He does have it on. Now just put blocks on your feet. We're good to go.
Okay, Dr. Ralph. I don't touch anything.
Oh, God. I agree with Steve. I'm going to give this one a 60. It is night and day better than anything we've seen so far this season.
Right.
Dr. Ralph, he no nut. He crazy.
God damn it. I think that the whole episode in general, the lighter tone, Ralph being the lead of the episode, made it was smart. Especially kind of giving us a look at how actually really good Ralph is at being a private eye. I mean, he does his homework. I think he surprised Barry. And I don't think we've seen Ralph be fully like PI, like Magnum PI mode until this episode. And I think it opened Barry's eyes, and I think it was really smart to build on Ralph's character. And so that I really loved. I agree with Bob. Some of the fucking effects and props in this episode were so bad. The laser cannon looked fucking horrible. I could make something better. Like, give me an hour at Home Depot and I could probably build something that looked three times better than that.
Okie dokie, Dr. Ralph, hold on to your potatoes.
the guy, the Ten Rings, again, forgettable. Melina, forgettable. I still don't understand why that villain is making a comeback other than to be a full-blown henchman.
But now that you say it, I would love to see them do
Mortal Kombat.
That too. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them do another episode like this in the future, where instead of a James Bond theme, it is a Miami Vice theme or a Magnum PI theme, or even Miami Vice. Fuck it.
He pulls up in a Ferrari.
Yeah,
with a fucking
mustache
and a tiger's hat.
And now hey, there's a little midget dude in that one too, huh? Or that was Fantasy Island.
That's Fantasy Island. The plane, boss. I think that was Short Round too.
No.
not Eric.
Wow.
I know
somewhere that guy's listening going, fuck you, man.
I'm pretty sure that guy's dead.
Oh.
Midgets don't live long, and that fucking goddamn Fantasy Island was so long ago.
Hold on,
I mean, fucking Ricardo Montalban's like 110.
Is that even his name?
No, Ricardo Montalban was the guy in.
Anyways.
Tattoo.
I don't really care about Chester P. Ronk. He's got to mean something if they're going to give him this kind of airtime. For the love of God, please. Again, I don't know why they brought back Visine. Other than, you know, she has to have some type of bigger role going forward, too. And I'm still the jury's
really
still
was Ricardo Montalban as Mr. Rourke. I'm so happy with myself.
You're really good, dude.
He knows his stuff.
Hey, wow, dude.
Oh, shit. I was 4 when that thing ended. I don't even know how the fuck I know that.
Well, unfortunately, Hervé did pass away in 1993 at the age of 50.
93.
That's like 150 in midget years.
Is that a thing? Hold on. I want to look that up. Is midget years an actual thing?
Can be.
Let's make it up. How?
Wait, get Warwick Davis on the phone.
Oh,
he's a dwarf.
He's dead.
Warwick Davis isn't
dead. He's not dead. He's still in a fucking Ewok costume.
I'm thinking the guy that was in R2. Not all midgets are the
Kenny
same.
Kenny Baker.
Right? Yeah. Bob, what about you?
I'm going to give it a 60.
Okay.
Mainly because of, again, there was a lot of member Barry type feelings of Barry being mm-hmm. Barry and being goofy and being lighthearted and being the guy, the character that I believe that he should be, not this, you know, it's just the weight of the world on him. He's always been like this free spirit. Like when you think Barry Allen, that's just who he is, a smartass, a guy who's just awkward in real social situations. And it's been a while since we've seen this type of Barry. And I did like it. It makes me want a Ralph spinoff to where he uses his powers somewhat, but you see more of the detective side of it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that stuff was just good. But again, you're getting downgraded because the effects were horrible. Again, we don't see Barry running around 1,000 times in the city anymore. They're not running through speed forces. They're not doing anything. If you're going to make practical effects, make practical effects. But go buy some freaking lights from IKEA and glue them to the inside of the thing. So we click the button so they change colors. It just that kind of stuff throws me off. So that's why I'm going to give it a 60.
All right, fair enough. That's going to do it, guys, for our final thoughts on this episode of Flash. And that'll do it for today's DC on RMD Flash edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future episodes on DCOnRMD.com. And with that, guys, we'll see you next week.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.